Our study tonight is from Joshua chapter 24. We're going to spend a little time looking at that. You know, our lives are basically the culmination of a series of choices, right? Some choices we make, decisions we make, are very small, like, what am I going to eat tonight? That's a small choice. It depends on who you are, of course, but for most of us, it's just, you know, one of the small things. Then there are big choices, like, you know, where am I going to go to college, or who will I marry, or where will I work? Those things are big choices. But our lives are the culmination of the choices that we make, both big and small. Joshua chapters 23 and 24, outstanding chapters in the Old Testament. The things which were written before were written for our learning. We, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope, Romans 15:4. Certainly when we study Joshua, any book of the Old Testament, there's so much to glean. And these two chapters are often referred to as a Joshua's farewell address. And in it, he is now an older man. In fact, verse 14 of chapter 23, he makes the famous statement, "I go the way of all the earth." In other words, he realizes that his death is near. And remember, think about Joshua for a second. He's the one who accomplished what the great prophet and statesman and lawgiver and friend of God Moses could not do. He led the people of God into the promised land. And as he comes to the end of his life, he reminds the people of all that God had done in their presence. How God fought their battles and had allowed them to succeed, and how he brought them into the land, and how it had been portioned out among the tribes, and their job then was to drive out all of the inhabitants. They hadn't done that yet. Now, they had conquered the land, but yet there was still much work to be done, and again, the tribes had been given their lots throughout the land, and God had helped them in all of that, and would continue if they would remain faithful. And in fact, again, looking at verse 14, which is a very important verse there in chapter 23, he also points out that regarding all of God's promises, all of the things God had said he would do for them, not one thing had failed. God had been completely and thoroughly faithful to Joshua and the people. So, he's urging them throughout this address to remain faithful to God as he had been faithful to them. Faithful to the covenant. Faithful to God's commands. And as long as they did that, they would succeed. It's interesting that when you move into the book of Judges, you find that as long as Joshua was alive, as long as the elders who lived alongside of him were alive, as long as that generation was still there, the people were faithful. But once Joshua and his generation died, a generation arose who knew not Jehovah, who knew not the Lord. I say all that because it shows what an influence Joshua had on the people. They were faithful as long as he was alive. Now, we look at verse 15 of chapter 24, famous verse of Scripture, right? And what do we say at the outset? Our lives are a culmination of the choices that we make. Whether we succeed in life, whether we experience joy in life, whatever, it all boils down again to what decisions will I make, either for good or ill. And Joshua, in his declaration of verse 15, highlights the most important decision anybody could ever make. He highlights the greatest choice that's ever before us. And this is what he says, verse 15. Again, speaking to these people that had seen so much that God had done. He says, "If it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve." And he gives them some options, right? Whether the gods your fathers served that were on the other side of the river. Think about this. When Abraham left the Ur of the Chaldees, his family before him, they'd been idolaters. But they'd come into the land of Canaan. Abram had put his faith in Jehovah. And from Abram's seed comes this mighty people. He said, so you've got a choice. You can serve the gods of your forefathers, or now that they'd entered the land where they needed to drive out those inhabitants who were serving false gods, he said, you can serve the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But there's a greater choice. Joshua made it. He said, but as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. Every one of us are faced with the choice from the time we get up until we pillow our head at night. Whom shall we serve? We can serve Satan, self, and sin, or we can serve God. And that choice is always before us. And the flesh is always pulling us away from God. We can go that direction. God always woos us through His Word. We can go that direction, but we've got to make the decision continually. Initially, certainly, we make a decision at the beginning of our walk with God. From now on, I will serve you. But we recognize that every day that choice, that decision has to be renewed. Because every day is a new set of circumstances and trials and temptations. And so, we look at Joshua. He said, as for me and my house, this is the choice we make. We will serve the Lord. And this very hour, thousands of years later, we're talking about Joshua. He made that sort of an impact on his people and on the world. And now, on us today, all of these years later, we're still talking about him because he made that decision. Here's where we are. It's the 30th of December, 2018, right? Tomorrow is the 31st, New Year's Eve, and then Tuesday is the 1st of January, 2019. I can remember being in a place when I was about 17 years old. I won't tell you where it was, but it wasn't the worst of places, but I probably didn't need to be. Playing pool, acting silly like a young guy will do. And the song that was out at the time was Prince's 1999. Which I really like that song to this day. Always did, still do. But it was 1984 when I heard it blasting, you know, through the place. And I thought to myself, I thought, wow. I thought, 1999, how old will I be? I thought, I'll be 32 years old. Oh my word, I'll be old. And now it's almost 2019, 20 years ago. Time stands still for no one. What is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. James 4:14. A lot of choices have been made since that uneventful night, really, so many years ago. But a lot of people are thinking about right now, what will I do for the new year? Some people don't care, right? Here's what you're going to find. You're going to wake up Tuesday, it's going to feel just like 2018. It'll feel a drop different. But it is true that there's something about these milestones, right? These markers of life that say, and this is sort of in our psyche when we come to the beginning of a new year, you know, the slate's clean. I can start over. I can do something better. I can fix a goal and I can move in that direction. And there's just something about it. For some of us, again, for some of you, you're thinking, I could not care less about it. But for a lot of us, you know, again, it's sort of this psychological thing. Hey, I can start over. And Christianity's all about starting over. It's all about newness, about walking in newness of life. But here's what I want us to think about. Because Joshua made the decision that he made, he's known as this great hero of Scripture. That doesn't mean all of us are going to be heroes of the faith, but he made that decision. And he was blessed because of it. And I guarantee you, if Joshua could stroll down the aisle and stand before us, he would tell us he never regretted making that decision. Life is a series of choices. So, since this is a time of the year that we tend to be thinking about changes and maybe improving our lives or doing things differently, here's just a few things that you might think about that you might choose to do or pursue as this January the 1st, 2019 starts. Now, you don't have to wait till Tuesday to begin thinking about these things. And I'm going to list them quickly. This is supposed to be Fifth Sunday singing, right? It is the Fifth Sunday. I was alerted to that earlier, and I told Alan, I said, "Oh, okay, well, I'm just done then. Start singing." He said, "No, man, you got to work tonight." I said, "All right, that's fine." What can help us to make the kind of decisions that can impact our lives for good? What are some decisions we can make right now? Here's one for you. Starting tonight, starting tomorrow, starting Tuesday, choose to do something good for somebody every day in the name of Jesus. In other words, for the express purpose of glorifying Him. That might mean picking up a phone and calling somebody, encouraging them. Or maybe simply praying for somebody. Or going and checking on someone. You know, when it comes to the changes that we need to make, we have to think about the various relationships of life. There's the paternal. I want to make choices and decisions that can help me draw closer to God. There's the fraternal. I want to make decisions and choices that can help me draw closer to you. There's the external. How can I affect the world? And then there's the internal. What decisions can I make that can improve me in the sense of being conformed in the image of God's dear Son? That's what I want. One of the things that can help is thinking today, resolutely, I'm going to start thinking about other people. Now, some people journal, some people write things down, some people make lists, some people just work off the cuff. But every day we get up and go somewhere, most of us, or we deal with somebody, most of us, with whom we can make the conscientious choice, I'm going to bless their lives today in some way. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially the household of faith. And when we strive to do good, we walk in the steps of Jesus because the Bible says He went about doing good. What's your resolution, Bill? I don't know if it's a resolution, but I hope starting this Tuesday, starting tonight, starting tomorrow, I'll seek to be more like Jesus, and I'm going to search for ways that I can bless your life, the lives of others, the people whom I encounter every day. Most important things in life are our souls and the souls of others. The only thing that goes into eternity, again, is our souls and the souls of others. Relationships are critical. What can I do to bless other people's lives? I can make some choices, some decisions to do that. Something else to think about. Sunday morning Bible class. What are we talking about? You say, don't ask that question. That was this morning. We're here now. We talked about spiritual growth, right? We're commanded, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to whom be glory both now and forever. Amen. 2 Peter 3:18. If we don't grow, that's hazardous. It causes church problems, 1 Corinthians 3:1-4. People who oftentimes drift away from God, the reason they do, they're not growing. Hebrews 5. They need someone to teach them again the first principles of the oracles of God. They can't partake of strong meat, but rather they have to be fed the milk of the Word. The Hebrew Christians were on the verge of leaving Christianity. Well, why? They weren't maturing. And we talked about how this morning that in order to become what God wants us to be, we have to pursue certain traits. What are those traits? Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. But the text tells us in 2 Peter 1, you need to give all diligence. You know, Ben Franklin was known to have a list of virtues. I think I mentioned this not too long ago. You can read about it. Look it up. And I don't know all the ones that were on his list, but what he would do is he would look at one and for a week he would practice that particular virtue, maybe patience. The week would close, he'd forget about it, he'd go to the next one. I don't know how many he had, let's say 10, 12, however many. He'd get to the end of his list, he'd turn around, he'd start with the first one again. I'm assuming that we talk about Benjamin Franklin today because he made those kinds of decisions to be that determined in his life to grow in those things. That helped to make him the man that he was. But like we said, spiritual growth doesn't happen by osmosis or accident. You want to be solid spiritually. You want to be faithful. You want to trust God. You want to have that calm and that joy and that peace that we talk so much about. You've got to expend the energy or it just doesn't happen. Adding to your faith virtue, adding to your virtue knowledge, adding, increasing, growing, you have to make the decision to do that. And so, when we think about choices, good choices we can make, whatever it takes, we'll talk about a few things that might help, but whatever it takes for you, for me to grow spiritually, we need to decide tonight, make the choice, I will begin to make every legitimate effort in that direction. I really want to become what God wants me to be. It doesn't happen by accident. I really want the life that the Bible promises. It doesn't happen by accident. Do good. Determined to pursue growth, God will bring the increase. Here's something to think about. And this helps in the growth department. And this is something good that you can do at any time. Starting right now, make the decision, the choice, that you will allow God to speak to you every day. I'm not talking about Him showing up at the foot of your bed. I'm not talking about a still small voice. I'm not talking about a feeling better felt than told. Although sometimes, because of some of the circumstances in life, decisions I need to make, I wouldn't mind if God showed up at the end of the bed. If He'd tell me something directly. It might scare me half to death. I might die in my tracks if He showed up. But if He's going to speak to me every day, how's He going to do it? He's going to do it through His Word. I don't know what to think about daily Bible regimen. Some people are very good at them. Some of you have read through your Bible every year for who knows how long. That's fine and good if you have a structured system for that. But you know, there's nothing in the Bible that says you have to read through the Bible in a year. But here's what the Bible does indicate. We need to feed on God's Word every day. Bereans studied the Scriptures daily, Acts 17 and verse 11. And the Bible refers to them as noble-minded. How much time do we spend with God's Word? How often do we allow it to influence us? Is it only during our assemblies and gatherings? You know, it's depressing to find, I know some people have several Bibles, but you know, sometimes you find a Bible in the pew and you wonder, is this the person's only Bible? And it never goes home with them. You're thinking, do they ever read it? I mean, I don't sit around pinpoint people and go, well, he must be sorry if the days are long. He doesn't care anything about the gospel. Nothing like that. It's just thoughts that you have, you know. You have to let God speak to you every day. Oh, how I love thy law. It's my meditation all the day, David said. Psalm 119, about verse 72. Is that our delight? Let God talk to you. Let Him commune with you. Let Him speak to you. It may be listening to somebody read the Bible, you know, through a recording. It may be listening to a sermon, maybe reading your Bible. But you know, you can take a small book. Not too long ago, well, it's been a little longer than I might think, I spent 30 days in the book of Ruth. It's four chapters. You could spend a year in the book of Ruth. You could spend a year in the book of Colossians. Four chapters. Make that thing yours. Feed on it. Pray to God about it. Let Him talk to you. All of us need to make that choice, don't we? Make the decision to let God speak to you regularly. And then choose, make the choice, I will say something to God every day. How do you feel about your prayer life? Is it good? Let me ask you this, if you think it's not so good, find yourself worrying a lot? You're scared a lot? Anxious a lot? Are you dissatisfied a lot? You ever thought maybe there might be a connection between your time spent with God, talking to Him about the affairs of your heart with how you're feeling? And Jesus once spoke a parable where he urged all men to pray and not to faint, not to lose heart. Luke 18:1. What does that mean? Jesus says, you just keep on praying. Don't get discouraged. Keep talking to God. We have that privilege to go boldly before His throne. How much do we avail ourselves to that blessing? You say, I don't pray as much as I should. It's probably true of all of us. But here's what I know. I can choose to pray more. Because in doing so, my intimacy with God will increase and grow. As my intimacy with God increases and grows, then I start to feel better about life, about myself, about relationships. The characteristics that we talked about earlier that were to grow in begin to be seen in my life. Let God say something to you every day, but you say something to Him. Cast all your cares upon Him. For He cares for you. Here's something else to think about. Say something about God to somebody every day. You say, well, I can't do that every day. How about just regularly? Somebody you know, you love, invite them to services if they live close. When you're having a conversation, try to say something that alerts them to how important your relationship is with God, so that perhaps that might cause a conversation to break out. You know, I know some people are like bulldogs on pork chops, man. They're just ha-ha-ha right when it comes to talking about God and the gospel and the church. I'm not like that. I'm not comfortable with that. I'm thankful for people who, you know, that's more their style, more power to you. I like to get to know somebody, and in the process of getting to know them and spending time with them, talking to them about the Lord and about His church and about His Word and the blessings that go with that. How often do we talk to people about what matters most to us, if it really does, the gospel? You know, we often focus on evangelism. We need to teach people the gospel. We do. But sometimes we have to bridge that gap, step across it, so that they know we care about them. They know that we're the real deal, we're genuine, we're sincere. And then they're far more likely to sit down with us with an open Bible and talk to us about what the Bible says. We're to go everywhere preaching the gospel. That's what the Bible says. But there are ways to do that, to influence others. Say something to somebody about God as much as possible. Make that decision. And this is the last one. This is happy or sad, mad or glad. The difference is how you think and what you focus on. If we were to talk to somebody who knows you well and we were able to sit down across from them and to ask about you, is so-and-so you generally positive or negative? Pessimistic or optimistic? What would they say? In other words, what do others see in you as it pertains to your attitude? Because your attitude is the outgrowth of your faith and your trust in God. I'm curling my own toes up here now in my shoes, hoping my pants don't fall down because my belt broke a minute ago and the buckle went right in the toilet. So when that happens, you have to stay positive, right? That's true. I'm not making that up. That just happened. There's a belt back here in the trash can if anybody wants to fix it. There's a buckle in the trash can too. You can have that. But anyway, it's yours. There's an old gospel song that says, every cloud has a silver lining. You believe that? It does if you're in Christ and you're serving the Lord, because the Bible teaches that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. I know we're human beings. I know we struggle in the flesh. I know we can get down in the mouth. I get it. All of us do. But my question is, what's our pursuit? What do we want to be? Do we want to be like that? Do we ever catch ourselves and think, you know, that's just not a good attitude. That's not helping a thing in the world. And if you let God talk to you every day, And you read those statements of Scripture and you study His Word, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, that ought to mean I can have a positive attitude. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. That must mean that I can be joyful despite difficulty. If God be for me, who can be against me? There's tons of those kinds of statements. In the midst of difficulty and trial, I may sorrow, but not as those who have no hope. Maybe we need a change of thinking. As one of my friends used to say, we need a checkup from the neck up. We need to think about how we're looking at things and thinking about things, because if our attitudes stink about life, why would anybody want to have anything we possess? If we're always down in the mouth, if we're always afraid, if we're always scared, if we're always anxious, if nothing good ever happens, why in the world would anybody turn to us to ask or to find the answers to life's big questions? Because our attitude sometimes may say we don't have any of the answers. Let's close where we started. Let's look at Joshua 24. Think about what he said, and we're done. I hope everybody has a safe and happy new year. Be sure and eat black-eyed peas. I won't, because I don't like them. My mother says, "Ever, you got to eat a few." I mean, she's dead serious. She thinks bad things happen. You don't eat, you know, black-eyed peas. And I'm thinking, I haven't eaten them in 51 years. So maybe I should. Maybe things would be real good. Maybe I can have a good attitude. It's black-eyed pea 2019 for me, I can tell you. I said, "Man, fill that pot up with some ham. Put some ham in that pot or something, not just those peas. You know, it's not that good." I have to do this to keep your attention. You don't understand. Let's think about what Joshua said again. He said, "If it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you shall serve." What are the options? The gods of your fathers on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But Joshua said, "As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord." All of the things we've talked about go back to that big decision to serve the Lord in everything we do. I know it's a little different sermon, but it's 2019, folks. We're getting old, some of us. It's time to make whatever decisions we can make, whatever choices, so that we can grow in God's grace and knowledge, so that this church can prosper spiritually, so that God can be glorified in this place. Greatest choice in the world is to come to Christ in obedient faith, believing the gospel and putting Him on in baptism. Your sins will be washed away. Then there's newness of life. This time of the year is all about newness, but so is serving the Lord. There's always opportunity to begin in the land of the living, in the land of grace. It's the religion of second chances. If we can help you, won't you come as we stand?